You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, we've been looking at words to live by. I really enjoyed our series. I think I may close it down tonight, maybe next week, but I've got so many more words I want to cover, but next week or two, we'll close her down. But we've looked at the word kindness. Let's be a kind and a gentle people. And then we looked at the word forgiveness. Oh, how we need to forgive one another. There's probably someone tonight you need to forgive. There's correction. And then we saw the word contentment and the word love and faith and second coming and trust. In fact, these three work together, trust and to wait and to have patience. Tonight, I'm going to read a scripture for you, but I want you to see if you can guess the word. We would sing this when I was a high schooler, when the days are dreary and the nights are dark and long, brighten up your pathway with a song. Just remember Jesus loves you. He can right the wrong. Amen. Brighten up your pathway with a song. Though the world is filled with sorrow, God is on his throne.
Amen.
He will not forsake you, for he careth for his own. Soon the sun will shine again. This is a powerful statement. Take courage and be strong. Brighten up your pathway with a song. The word tonight is courage. Courage is the ability to deal with the difficult. If you write that in your notes, it's the ability to deal with the difficult. You will have difficulties in life. You're just going to have them. I'm going to have them. We're all going to have them. You're going to have health difficulties, marital difficulties, financial difficulties, housing difficulties, bill difficulties. Difficulties are a part of life. They're part of my life. They're part of your life. No one's exempt from difficulties. The President of the United States, he has difficulties, so many these days, as he's dealing with so much. The Vice President, the Supreme Court, the Republicans, the Democrats, everybody has difficulties. Our mayor has difficulties. You have difficulties. Maybe today you're in here, there's no difficulties. But you will face difficulties. Everybody faces difficulties. It's the willingness to confront aging. Our church is packed with children. These rooms are packed tonight with children. We have, I think, more ladies expecting than we've had in a decade or two right now in our church. So many ladies expecting. But you're going to have to learn to deal with aging. Our church is the model church for aging. We've got a lot of you in the 80s in here tonight. But they don't act like they're in the 80s. No, they're not acting like, hey, cool, baby, I'm a teenager. They're not acting like that. But they're not talking about, well, you know, all my aches and pains and my pills and my doctor's appointment. They don't talk about it. They deal with it. We have the greatest group of 80s in this church, from Amen. Over here to over here, in between, everywhere I look. I've got your names all written down here, but we've got so many people. I'm not going to say that for the sake of being disrespectful. We got a lot of people in their 70s. We got a lot of people in their 60s. We got a lot of teenagers. And you're going to have to deal with aging. You're going to have to deal with being a youth. You're going to have to deal with pain. You're going to have to deal with suffering. You're going to have to deal with danger. Really, courage is the ability to be brave. Maybe write that in your notes tonight. Look at what it says in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And what the land is... Let's look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. The story, and by the way, point one, if you want to write it down, be willing to stand alone.
Right.
Just stand alone if you have to.
Amen.
You teenagers, stand alone. If you know if something's going wrong, Brother Swanson, we need it reported to us. You're as guilty in America's law if you hold information from someone that's committed a crime or committed some evil. You're as guilty as that person and can be tried. No, don't let anybody say, well, I don't want to be a rat thing. Be a rat thing. Stand alone. The Israelites, Moses was sending them out and said, I want you 12, one from every tribe. I want you to go look at the land. And I want you to bring back word to me. But be sure you come back with courage. And verse 30 that the Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. And we be, verse number 31, we be able, and the people said, we be not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than them. And they brought an evil report. 10 brought back an evil report and 2 brought back a good report. And they listened to the 10 that brought the evil report. But Caleb and Joshua were men of courage, and they stood alone. That's why when Caleb gets to be 85, he says, I want that mountain. And
Amen.
He was offered and given that mountain.
Amen.
He had courage.
Amen.
And tonight, your young couple, stand alone if you have to.
Amen.
I always hear this, and Ms. Treber heard it so much, and Brother Fanera, you hear, my kids just don't have any friends. Well, that's part of life. Mm-hmm. Because basically the friends that you have in high school, they'll move on, they'll go on, and you'll create new friends.
Right.
But stand for God.
Amen.
Stand alone if you have to stand alone.
Yes.
In this church, I'm so, so grateful that I pastor a great church. In this meeting I was at in Minnesota, there was pastors from Iowa, from Illinois, from Wisconsin, from all these different states. And everyone, Brother Moyer says, say hi to Brother Moyer. We listen to KMBBC all day long. That one pastor, large church, said, every member of my church listens to KMBBC every day.
Wow.
And they talk like they come to pastors' conference. They just had groups there. And they said, oh, we were so helped by watching your people, the people of God. This is a courageous church.
Hallelujah.
But stand alone if you have to stand alone.
Yes.
Stand alone, teenagers. Stand alone, college students. And I know most of them are working tonight, but if you're in here as a college student, stand alone if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we ought to be graduating, independent, fundamental, separated Baptist pastors.
Amen.
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 That still works.
Amen.
Right.
It still works. It's
Amen.
Still right.
Amen.
Brother Terry Angel was preaching at this meeting. He mentioned the great revival that took place in America in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know, in the 70s and 80s, we were opening 3 Christian schools a day for 365 days a year on the average. 3 a day. No Christian schools are opening up. I crisscrossed the country, nobody has a Christian school. There are just a handful left. But there was a revival going on in America with the Christian school movement, and then every church ran buses.
Good.
And the largest churches in every state were independent, fundamental, separated Baptist churches.
Praise God.
And they believed in preaching and standards, and they all had standards.
Good.
And they believed in worldwide missions, and it was a fiery time. And things. That's why when I came here, it was an easy thing to see this church grow, because people were looking for the bus ministry, and our buses just exploded. And people were looking for worldwide missions, and people were looking for a preacher that would preach and stand. And we had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we're going to have it until I die.
Right. Praise God.
We're not going to give up on that.
Amen.
Stand alone if you have to.
Amen.
But you know, I think we talk about, well, the good old days. No. Why can't these be the good old
Amen.
Days?
Right.
Amen.
I'm preaching Brother Angel's message, but he mentioned that the first temple was built. It was just gorgeous. The second temple wasn't at all like the first temple. But by the way, the second temple lasted longer than the first temple, and the second temple had Jesus come into it.
Amen.
I kind of like the second temple, a lot smaller. And so God, maybe the buses aren't going in the nation like they used to go. And maybe the Christian schools aren't going. But we can still have a great church.
Yes.
And we have a great church. The way you sang, I'm sitting here tonight just listening to you sing, the way you sang, the way the instruments play, and the fire, the zeal, and the offering. The offerings have been so strong. All this first quarter, every Wednesday night, strong offerings. And what God's people have done with the buckets and with the offerings and all that's happening in our church. Stand alone if you have to.
Amen.
Secondly, if you'll turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Numbers, the next book, Deuteronomy 31. In Deuteronomy 31, stand when your leader's dying. Your leader's your dad. Your leader's your mother. Your leader's your husband, your wife. Your leader's your pastor. But stand for God. Stand, have courage when someone's dying. Look what the Bible says, chapter 31, verse number 31, verse 6. Be strong. This is Moses. He's dying. And he says, be strong and of good what? Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Look at verse 7. And Moses called Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good what? Courage. Look at verse number 23, if you will. And here's Joshua, here's Moses dying. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good what?
Courage.
Be courageous.
Amen.
I was writing down last night in my room all the preachers. I've got them in my prayer journal, and I don't pray for them. They're at home with the Lord. But I got them all in my prayer journal. But all the preachers that have died in my lifetime, and there's hundreds of them, and they finished their race. But you know what? Our church, if God tarries and is coming and I die one of these days, our church is going to be fine.
Amen.
I was meeting with a bunch of our fellows the other day. I said, now, Lord, fellows, if that happens, I need you to stay, and I need you to work, and I need you. And they all said, we're staying.
Good.
This church is in such good order. It's going to go forward, friend.
Amen.
It's going to move forward for the
Amen.
Cause of Christ. Number three, let's turn to the book of Joshua. Just keep on going. Joshua in chapter number one. In Joshua chapter one. So we see you stand alone, you stand when your leader's dying, you stand with the new leader, when God raises up new leadership. Joshua 1, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, which I do give them. And verse number 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land which I swear to their fathers. Verse 18 of chapter number 1, please. And whosoever be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken to thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good what?
Courage.
There's always obstacles. There's always difficulty. And God raises up one and he takes one home to be with him. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But God is going to keep this church. God is going to keep your life. God's going to keep your marriage. God's going to keep it all together. Just be courageous.
Amen.
I'm not saying you cannot cry when your husband passes away. I'm not saying you cannot be brokenhearted when your wife passes away. I'm not saying that you cannot you lose your courage when your children pass. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But you're going to have to pick yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on keeping on.
Yep.
There's a lot of life. And when your life is over, God will let you know and he'll take you home. But until that time, you've got to be courageous.
Yes.
Not only this, but not only when you have to stand alone and when the leader's dying and when God brings a new leader. 1 Chronicles 19. First Chronicles, please. You're doing great. First Chronicles 19. And let's look at verse number 13. Fourthly, you must be strong for others. Be of good courage, verse 13. Watch this. Let's read it together. And let us behave ourselves for our people, right there. You know, these teenagers here, they're just amazing, Brother Fanera. Brother Swanson, you men and you teachers and all that invest in their life, they're just amazing. They all talk to me. They all also, you know, that's not normal, talking to the old pastor. They talk to me and they smile at me and they sing and they play instruments and they're involved and they're in sports and they're involved in academics. They're involved in it all. But I want you to know that teenagers go through problems just like you and I. Right. I hope they're not man-sized burdens, but they're teenage-sized burdens. But they need some aged men in this room and aged women that'll come alongside and encourage them. I mentioned it the other week. I won't mention again all the names of the men that when I was in high school, they came alongside and encouraged me. When I had no confidence in myself, when I had no confidence that God was going to use me, I was so afraid. But they just brought encouragement. They didn't counsel with me. They didn't talk to me about, they just talked about living for God and being excited about the things of God,
praise God,
singing and having a good time in life.
Amen.
You know, Dad, sometimes you're going to have to just be valiant for your children. Amen. Courageous for your children. Amen. I know you get tired of me talking about my dad, but my dad was just such a good man. Amen. Never moody, never up, down, always the same. Always the same. Godly man, good man, happy man, excited. Get up in the morning, he'd sing, and he'd get up early, and then after a while, he'd start making breakfast, and he'd go to our rooms and wake us up, and he was so, hey, Texas, Jesus came in. Dad, go away. He'd sing so loud. I said, Dad, you're singing so loud, go away. He'd come back, oh, you're not up when the days are dreary, and sang loud. Oh, he was loud.
Amen.
You're not my dad, but you're loud, Peter. They talked about you in Minnesota last night.
No.
You know, you're going to have to be strong for your children. You lose your job, you're going to get another one. You lose your house, you're going to sleep somewhere tonight. The doctor gives you bad news, it'll be okay.
Amen.
And I watched my folks with that. I watched when the cancer came, and I watched when the stroke came, and I watched when the hardships came. And they were just the same all the time. You got to be valiant for people.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to have a pastor that's moody, that's upset, that's angry, that's troublesome. And you don't pastor a church like this without every day there's trouble. Every day of my life there's difficulties. But I'm not going to govern myself from my difficulties. I refuse to. I'm too close to my heavenly home. I'm not gonna get depressed, discouraged, defeated, and mad. I want to live on the winning side.
Amen.
And I have to for these precious teenagers. I hope they see the ministry is great. I have to for my staff. They don't need a moody, grouchy old guy. I have to for my deacons. I have to for the bus workers. I have to for the Sunday school teacher. I have to for the sound, for the nursery, for every person here that works. I've got to be strong for you. And you have to be strong, Dad, for your family. And you've got to be strong for your business. And you've got to be strong for whatever God gives you. Don't be moping around. Number four, number five. Here we go. 1 Chronicles 28. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 28. You have courage when leadership needs you. Yeah. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee and forsake thee until thou finished all the work for the service of the house of God. David wanted to build the house of God. But God says you cannot do it. You've been a man of war and bloodshed. Your son's going to build the house. And God says to David says to Solomon, he says, son, just have courage. I look at my son. My son has developed courage in his ministry. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see our kids having courage. I'm excited to see the young people that are born here, grew up here. This is the most courageous church in America. Trust me on that. I know. I crisscrossed this country preaching, and we've got great churches right now. But there's not another North Valley. There's not in the world another North Valley.
Amen.
And everybody that I go to, they'd say amen to that. There's something special here.
Amen.
God's people have courage. And you know, here is David talking to his son. He said, now, son, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to get my gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. And here's the blueprints for the tabernacle, the temple, everything. I'm going to do it for you, son. But you're going to have to show some courage here. You're going to have to lead these people forward. You're doing well. We're about done. Number six. Go back to Numbers 32, please. We were in Numbers a few minutes ago. Numbers 32. In Numbers 32, God's word says in verse 7, and that, wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over the land which the Lord hath given. Verse number 9, for when they went up into the valley of Eshcol, they saw the land, and they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. I'd say number 6, don't discourage anybody else. Don't discourage anybody.
Amen.
I ask myself, I want to leave every conversation more positive than what we started the conversation. I want people to be positive about life. I want people that sin, leave my presence and say, I feel encouraged. You know, we're all going to sin. We're all going to have difficulties. I would take you, if I had time, to Joshua 14, where Caleb cries out and he says, I'm 85. I'm as strong as I was many years ago, but I want that mountain. That's courage. That's courage. I want that mountain. And he got his mountain. He was a man at 85 with courage. All our 80-year-olds, all of you, many of you in your 80s, y'all have courage.
Amen.
Every one of you is an inspiration to my heart. Turn with me and we'll close to 1 Samuel 27. In 1 Samuel 27, we have a very sad situation that takes place. In 1 Samuel 17, don't turn there, 17, David killed, who did he kill? Goliath, chapter 17. Fast forward to chapter 27. Verse 1 says, and David said in his heart, your heart is your brain. This is, we're not giving our heart to our wife on Valentine's Day. Here's my organ that's pumping 4 ounces of blood every second, every beat. No, we don't give her a heart. The heart is located in the brain. The heart is your mind. Our brains weigh 3 pounds. Some of you weigh a lot less than that with your brain, but 2 or 3 pounds. It's like a walnut. It looks like a walnut shape on the outside, like the shell of a walnut. And inside, it's divided into 3 sections. And 1 section is your heart or your mind. And discouragement always begins in your mind. You think on things wrongly. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, lovely, just, honest, good report, think on these things. Don't think about how bad it is. Think how good it is.
Yes, amen.
These are great days.
Amen.
These are wonderful days. God's still on the throne. And the Bible says, and David said in his heart, discouragement always begins up here. I can't do that. So Brother Raymer's asked you, can you teach this Sunday school class? And we feel like God is maybe giving you the gift of teaching. And so, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? If God gave you the gift, you better teach.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You better teach. Well, I can't drive that bus. Why? Well, I can't captain that bus. Why? I can't sing in the choir. Why? And we got all these reasons up here in our mind why we can't do what we're supposed to do. Well, you know, America, it's going to be very patriotic the next 90 some days, but there's no hope for America. I want you to know that only revival comes to a hopeless situation.
Yes.
Revival could sweep over this nation.
Praise God.
There's no telling what could happen.
Amen.
I mean, we are so ripe for revival.
Amen.
But we say we start thinking in our heart, I can't do it, or there's no hope, or I don't think this can. You're going to pastor churches, you boys. I don't think my church can grow. Don't ever think that.
Yeah.
Your church can grow.
Yes.
Just go door to door. Go soul winning.
Good.
You'll find people that are looking for God.
Amen.
I've said many times, I go out soul winning. I say, when I'm striking out, I'll say, I'm out here. I'm the pastor of the church over here. And I'm looking for the person. Maybe someone out here is looking for God. Are you looking for God? You know, it's pretty hard to say, no, I'm not looking for God. Are you looking for God? Because I feel like God led me out here to visit in this neighborhood, but I'm looking for the person that's looking for God. He said in his heart, you boys, you could be great music. You could be Alvin Martinez II. You could be a great youth pastor like your youth pastor. You could be great like Brother Flood, Brother Reimers, all these guys up here, yep. Brother Simmons and Brother Fuller, yep. All these guys. They're just a step ahead of you. And God's going to use you, young men. Man, I'd choose the ministry. If I just choose the ministry. Let me try that one more time. I'd choose the ministry.
Amen.
I would. It beats anything else. I'd just choose the ministry. Let God call you in the ministry. You say, well, you're like me. I don't know if God ever called me. I think he did to the pastorate, but I heard John Rice said, I don't know if I was called, but I volunteered. We sing a volunteer for Jesus. I just volunteer. And if I got to heaven, I'll never forget, he said this in room 204, 56 years ago. He said, if I get to heaven and I won people of Christ I should not have won, I think God's going to forgive me. He was a great man of God. You know, we go back to that day that in the 70s, the sword of the Lord, now it's at Bobby Robertson's church back there, but the sword of the Lord could never have been at Bobby Robertson's church in the 70s. They had to rent the convention center in Tennessee. In Atlanta, Brother Curtis Hudson had the largest, fastest growing church in America. It wasn't big enough. They'd rent the convention center that seats 10,000 people. And they went to Cobalt Hall in Detroit and rented the convention center and filled it with preachers all over America. Well, that's what was happening. That's like the first temple, but maybe the second temple, maybe it's going to get better this time around.
Amen.
Maybe not as big, but why can't it be great?
Right.
You know, I feel like the Spanish, the pastor's conference you had was so incredible for the people that came. The English one over here was so, I mean, all over the place, people talking about it. We put those men singing, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." We put online a week ago. It's already had over 4 million hits. I don't know how many it's up to now. I haven't checked in the last 2, 3, 4 days. But over 4 million people watching it.
Wow, glory to God.
God's still on the throne.
Amen.
He said in his heart, he starts in your heart, and then it comes out your mouth. "I shall now one day perish by the hand of my soul." He starts talking. Discouragement begins here and comes out here. So you yell at your wife, says, "I tell you what." And you say, "I don't know why I said that." Yes, you did. You already thought it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can memorize that. It's Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12, 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So don't ever say, "I don't know why I said that," because you thought of it. It's already planted in there. It's in this computer. And it comes out. And by the way, it goes from here to here to an owls of action. The next verse says, David gathered 600 men and he put them in harm's way. How come? Because he got discouraged. Turn with me in closing to chapter 30, please. So he comes back and the city of Ziklag is burned and they took their wives and they took their children and they talked about the people. Verse number three, they burned the city with fire, and the wives and the sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David, verse 6, was greatly distressed, for the people speak of stoning him. Because of the soul of the people is grieved, every man for his sons. Read this next statement. Ready? Begin. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You're going to have to encourage yourself. What encourages you? Spiritually, the Bible, prayer, soul winning, serving God, cleaning. I'm shocked at our Sunday school class, how that so many people were out Saturday, so many out were on Monday night, so many, Brother Reamers told me, and last night, just passing out flyers. So our class is going to be working, but our class is not the one. Brother Martinez, all the 16 adult classes are working. You're working at Tracy this week, and you're going to the church there to have a big day. I mean, the Filipinos, Brother Pusin, what a great, you went to 5 o'clock last Saturday night. Early in the morning till late at night, just knocking on the doors, visiting people, amen. Eating. Good. Eating. I found out about the eating thing too. But eating. You know, David then says, should I pursue? And God answered by one word, pursue. I'm out of time. I just want us to have courage.
Amen.
Don't live your life, teenager. College, don't live your life discouraged. God can do anything.
Amen.
And God takes the weak, the base things of this world to confound the wise. This is a 3,000 seat auditorium. Some of you guys are going to be pastoring churches that have 30. But some of you guys are going to pastor churches that you'll need a 6,000 seat auditorium.
Amen.
God can do anything.
Amen.
God can use you.
Amen.
Let's stand together, please. Our Father, I want to thank you for courage and fearless in the midst of pain and suffering and difficulty. Just courage. God, give every wife and every mother courage here, every college student, every high school student, every man, every woman in this room, courage tonight, that we might live on the winning side. And believing that, God, you can do anything.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.